Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week for your listening pleasure. My guest today is Jacqueline Taylor, and she has not arrived into the studio just yet. She's running a little late, so in the meantime, I don't know what we're going to do. You know, it can be quite frustrating and freaky in a particular situation, especially when you've got no freaking food in the house, when your shoes have got holes in them, and you're running out of hard drive space. Yeah, that's a big one. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, just bear in mind that this is a listener-supported broadcast. It's done on virtually the whiff of a hint of an oily rag. You know what I'm saying? So I need new shoes, badly need new shoes, need some running shoes and some dress shoes. So I think, you know, might be like $100 each for a decent pair that'll actually last me a little while. So if anybody's capable of donating there, that'd be nice. The other necessities of the show in recent times is going to be external hard drive space. I saw a 4 terabyte external hard drive, which would probably last me a little more than a month. In terms of storing video footage and whatnot, and that's about $300. So basically, I need about $500 just to cover the physical things that I need. And on top of that, there's also the just ordinary expenses, you know, rent, food, gas, power, water, internet, etc., credit card bills, whatever. So if anybody can help out by going to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, I'd very much appreciate it. Now, if Jax is here, she could probably be in the living room, and I can't really kind of get up and go answer the phone because here she is. All right, come on, Jax, come and sit down. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're on air. So yeah, just come and sit down in this little chair here next to me, and we should have everything all hunky dory for you.
Awesome, and breakfast will now be lunch, people. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I had the kind of morning that I'm sure lots of people are having at the moment. Yep. Bombardment of information. And, basically getting my head straight around everything that's happening, and everything's obviously happening at a very fast pace these days. So, Vinny, we're going to talk about Syria.
Syria?
And the ever-changing situation.
You're serious about this, eh?
I am very serious about this because I've got so many of my friends and peers saying to me, oh, it's so far away, Jax, you know, what are we going to do? Should we do anything? We shouldn't probably do anything. And the worst thing about it is the information and the knowledge that is around about what's happening over there is constantly morphing, and the language around is constantly morphing. So the problem we have, I think, is the mainstream media is not our friend, which is why I'm here with lovely Vinny. The mainstream media is not our friend. And it's not giving us the kind of information that we need as New Zealanders to make the kind of decisions based on common sense. So whether that is our government or whether that is the people who should be helping them to make those decisions. And I understand that Mr. Key and Mr. McCulley yesterday are still reserving, but they're sounding a little bit hawkish to me. That's personal opinion.
Maybe. Sorry, hawkish, is that kind of like they sound like they've got spit in their mouth or something?
Well, no, to me they sound hawkish in the sense we may actually be looking at what America is saying more than we possibly could be following the same line of thought of Britain, unfortunately. Right. So that is a personal opinion. Please, don't anyone take that as any kind of official line. But the worry is we're not being told the truth, because everything that we are being told that is happening in Syria at the moment or in that region is actually on a delay. And there's an awful lot of misinformation around out there. And it is very easy, emotively, to jump on one bandwagon or the other. And for me personally, I would like to think that the children and the ordinary civilians in Syria are the ones that we should be worrying about, not the national security interests of countries like America, like Israel, like some of the others who are lining up and making comments about what should happen regarding intervention. Now, intervention with military weapons, where I come from, is war. All right, you can't be any clearer than that. So intervention selectively for a short period of time, whatever they like to call it, if you start loading Exocet missiles and firing them at places, that's war. And with people, the big players like Russia and Iran, America, France rattling its little, rattling its, you know, little sabers as well. I can't really see them following through.
What are they going to do? Send the Three Musketeers in?
But I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I would not have imagined for a minute that France, under a left-leaning Prime Minister, would be actually doing this. So we can look at it in a different way. We can look at it from the humanitarian. This word keeps coming up as well. Humanitarian is such a wonderful word until they abuse it. Now, humanitarianism has got nothing to do with weapons either. Mm. So if they wanted to do something humanitarian, what they should be doing is using all that money that they're loading up into Exocet missiles and drones and other things, whatever they're planning on doing, and actually put that into those refugee camps.
So, yeah, these people are turning the word humanitarian into, like, I don't know, some form of cannibalism, vegetarians eat vegetables, humanitarians. Yeah. And the other thing about this is we're talking about media misinformation, and people have no idea that the media engages in misinformation. They think misinformation is a beauty contest.
Well, I've just, funnily enough you say that, I've just been listening, unfortunately, to Radio Live. On the way in, and the worst thing about that was actually hearing myself described as a lefty or a hippie or whatever I'm supposed to be, or you're supposed to be, or anybody who's supposed to be, who basically disabuses themselves of the official line on anything.
Do you yell out and scream in the car when talk radio show hosts say something stupid? I did, until my radio broke.
No, I don't. Actually, what I probably do is eye roll and miss people waving at me because they say, Jax, I waved at you going down, sailing past Finney's Road.
I was too busy going to the mainstream media.
That's exactly it. I've given up screaming because I had the window open one time, actually, and I was yelling at something, and this guy just sort of looked at me through the window, and he really did think I was nuts. But going back to what you were saying there, that's so interesting. It is actually coming out, the fact that this misinformation is out there, and people are being caught out. Now, the difference is, as soon as something happens that follows the official line, it's all over One News, Three News here, whatever. Okay, it's all over the radio. It comes in headlines. It comes in sound bites. But it's funny that they ignore the things where they're caught doing the opposite, and we don't really hear about that. And that is because it's not in the public interest, apparently, to know that people are actually being paid, you know, as they will do in a sort of a capitalist world we live in now, to actually say things and do things which actually support some of the lines being followed. And I'd like to give you a really good example here. CNN were caught staging news segments in Syria. Now, you know, people go, oh, no, they can't possibly do that. You know, we're seeing all these dreadful pictures. It's really emotive. It's awful.
A lot of them are from Iraq.
Well, we've got those issues as well. So what we've got is we've got photojournalists and we've got other reporters going, hang on a minute, that photograph, that segment you used was actually from a previous or a different war. My daughter and I were actually watching something on Syria ourselves and looked at each other and went, recognise that little girl from that particular segment. And she was actually a little girl that was from Gaza when the Israelis were doing the last, thing that they did over there,
last
operation.
Gaza-Rinkers.
Yeah. So that was dreadful. And both of us looked at each other and shook our heads. On a more finite level, though, there are actually witnesses coming out now saying, look, these people have been paid to say these people have been paid to do this. And this is reminiscent of a time when we go back to the Iraq war, where can anybody remember that amazing picture of the statue of Saddam Hussein being toppled and all this cheering and oh, it was, you know, it's quite a moment. And I remember thinking, that's just so... oh, it's so Hollywood, without actually really taking that any further at the time. Mm. And then years later, actually finding out, well, no, it wasn't actually Hollywood, but it might as well have been, because it was in fact stage managed by a company paid by
all of these so-called Iraqis that were coming out waving Iraqi flags and cheering.
Yeah.
There were actually US troops that were of Arabian descent who just looked Iraqi.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, when we've got things like this happening, this is quite frightening. We've also got contradictions. We've got contradictions in the kind of words that are coming out. We've also got contradictions in what the leaders are saying. This is irrefutable evidence. Okay, show it to us. Well, no, we can't do that under security issues. It's this, that, and the other. No,
same
wait a minute.
Deal every time,
every single time. And the worry that we've got happening here is we have been asked in New Zealand, I want to bring it back to be relevant to us, we are being asked to give, so far, moral support. Well, define moral support, please. There is no morality in setting off Exocet missiles again, sending warships, except there is no moral support needed for something like that. You either support doing that or you don't. From a New Zealand point of view, I think it would be very difficult to say, well, yes, we support you firing off missiles into Syria in a punitive exercise. This is retribution. It is retribution for whoever has used these weapons, and there is no finite proof yet. I'm not supporting, believe me, I've been watching this for such a long time now. I am not supporting the Assad government. And I say, note, I say government, I don't say regime, because that is another word. How come something's a regime suddenly? Are we under a national regime? Possibly.
Yeah.
You know, these words are highly emotive
the
words
regime.
They use. Yeah, the Obama regime, exactly. And the interesting thing now is from last night, which is another reason why, forgive my tardiness today, but suddenly Israel and America are setting off, they're having tests in the Mediterranean. Would this not be seen as something quite provocative right now for all those countries around there? America denied it. And then eventually Israel did actually come clean and say, yes, it was us. Now, Israel have stayed very quiet on this issue for some time, which is quite concerning in one way if you follow the Middle East, because there's so much going on simultaneously in so many countries in that region. But we have to go back to some of the main criteria for why some of these wars are actually being fought and what has happened, and where suddenly things have gone very quiet, actually, Vinny. Libya, we're not hearing very much information out there. We only hear about Iraq when it's so-called sectarian violence. So, we're told, oh, it's Sunni, it's Shia, it's this, it's that. This wasn't happening. I thought that war was supposed to have been won and it was all hunky-dory and settled and great. Well, it isn't. They are under just
mission
as much duress. Well, exactly. But what was the mission? Because the mission is that the country is destroyed. All those people that were refugees, you're not hearing, where did they go? They certainly haven't gone back. And now we're being told we've got 2 million Syrian refugees and an awful lot of them are children under 11. Well, I went out on Saturday and a few people joined me to actually say no to war with Syria in our name. Because that's what it is. An intervention with military weapons is war, because these people, this is their country. Their country is being torn apart by two different factions. One is the incumbent government, and I'm not saying that what they're doing is right at all. I've watched it for 2 years now, and I've watched it morph from what was supposedly a rebel, a rebellion, a revolution. I've watched that hijacked. I've watched it taken over by various factions and Al-Qaeda, whoever you happen to think they are, and I'll leave that open to you to make the decision. But Al-Qaeda are definitely in there. These guys are not playing games over there. They are not being specific in who they're targeting in areas in the sense of any more than the Americans or France or any coalition of killing, another coalition of killing, would be able to target individuals. When you are going in with helicopter gunships, with whatever, sarin gas, if that's true, you can't go, oh, well, I'll just drop it on that person. I won't drop it on the street. Every single internecine war that we have seen has collected casualties. They call them collateral damage. I call them people. And the bottom line here is we should not be interfering in a situation where we have no idea who the players are behind, who are funding, who are supplying, and who are doing any of this, unless there is actually irrefutable proof.
And we've got a couple of seconds left to go to break. Jacqueline Taylor is my guest. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Just in time, head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. The phone rings in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. This all on my own. No, I know I'm no Superman.
Welcome back. Okay. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Jacqueline Taylor, otherwise known as Jax. Welcome back.
Hi again. Right, listen, just one last point I would make. Everything at the moment has been put on a kind of pause. So a pause, as far as I'm concerned, with the government's concern, just means that they are thinking about the best way they are going to counter propagandize whatever it is they're going to do. So it's only a breather. What I would really like people to do, and we spoke to it on Saturday and Sunday at various actions, I won't call them protests, they weren't protests, we didn't have anything to protest against. We were actually advocating for the fact that New Zealanders need to wake up for this.
Demonstrate.
So basically, the demonstration is a positive action that you can do as people. And what we need to do is get in touch with our MPs who are meant to represent us, whatever that representation means to you. So whether it's a national, a Labour, a Maori, whoever. Yeah, or a Labour, and need you to contact them. Now, a friend of mine, Penny Bright, and I did an open letter to the New Zealand Prime Minister, John Key, and basically reminding him of that, you know, we're supposed to act within with accordance to international law, and basically we would like you people to do the same. This is what democracy can be like when ordinary New Zealanders say, no war in my name. So what we'd like you to do is to email, phone, Twitter, Facebook, pester, go and sit in the electorate office and talk to their secretaries. Some of these people are actually really nice people. They will allow this. That is what they are supposed to facilitate. And go and tell them that we do not want any kind of support, moral or otherwise, given to a decision to intervene in Syria without very, very good reason. And as far as the information coming out at the moment is, there is no good reason, all right? So that is something that you can do if you do not want your taxes, your moral support given to military intervention. We have enough things to do.
I just question the paradox of the country led by John Key giving moral support to an invasion when John Key doesn't have any morals.
Well, exactly. And
how can he support somebody?
The conscience. The other word that came up for me, which was really sad, was people talking about consciences. I have not seen this coalition government uses conscience yet on anything that has actually mattered to ordinary New Zealanders. So, the things that we need to ask ourselves is, in whose interest is it that we believe the information coming out? Who benefits? Who loses? Who is overtly behind it? Who is covertly behind it? And then when you follow that back, look at what history shows us has happened every time. As Julian Assange said, history is only what you actually know or don't know. And the history that you don't know, I suggest you seriously look up some of these things that we're saying. Don't just take the mainstream media line at the moment, because you are really being fooled. And there will be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, of Libyans, of Afghans, of other Palestinians, I certainly can't forget them, who will be saying the same thing if they had the opportunity to do something like this. Please think with your heads and your hearts together and act. It's no good being against things if you're not willing to do something about it. So whether that be going, talking to somebody, writing a letter, as futile as that may seem, if enough people do these things, every change has always started with one person standing up and saying, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. I'll do that. Okay, so thank you very much. And for all the people, you know, in Syria, whichever side, and this is the problem, whichever side they are supporting, the children have no choice. The children are being killed and hurt and thrown out of their own country. They're refugees. Put yourself in the place of a 9 or 10 year old child whose parents are dead, regardless of who killed them, and put yourself in their position, please. Mm. Thank you.
And put yourself in the position of US diplomats who look at the situation going, there's Al-Qaeda fighting against the government. Yeah. Didn't we create Al-Qaeda back in the 80s? Well, yes, we did. How did that happen? So now we've got to go in and support our old allies, Al-Qaeda, which we've allegedly been our enemies for the past 12 years, who allegedly caused 9/11 when in actual fact it was us.
The last thing on that as well, Vinny, is you also need to follow the money and the oil and have a look. I encourage your viewers and listeners, I encourage them to start Googling oil, to start Googling gas, to start Googling Golan Heights, to start looking at some of the companies and some of the names that are linked to some of the companies over there. You'll be coming up with names like Rothschild. You'll be coming up with names like Rumsfeld and Cheney. You'll be coming up with all sorts of names that are very familiar in other areas. And other wars or interventions.
Let's say it was a repeat of the Iraq War. Okay, there's no business being in there, no weapons of mass destruction. So what we do is invent a reason to go in there by saying that they do have weapons of mass destruction, which we sold them. And then you invade in, you kill a million people, you blow up their water plants, their power plants, their infrastructure, and destroy and disband their army so that there's nothing actually tying the country together, to make sure you destabilize the entire region so that you can send in your private contractors, oil companies, so on and so forth, pay them 10 times the amount that you would an ordinary soldier to drive the same stretch of road, and milk the American money purse essentially out of the thing under the guise of reconstruction efforts.
Exactly.
That's basically what's going to go on here, isn't it?
Yeah, and that is the bottom line. The military-industrial complex, that very infamous phrase, that is what drives this. And take a look at what's happening in America as well at the moment. Take a look at the deficits that they're talking about. Take a look at the fact that unemployment over there and other things, no matter how they try and sugar it, these situations are not improving. If you cross-link all these things, it makes no sense that America would want any of those highly trained military people back from Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever they are at the moment either, to come home to a place where not only are their housing situation is dreadful, the work situation is dreadful, also the veterans aren't even being looked after. Why would they want those people back there as well? So it's a continuous cycle of war. And seriously, in the decades I've been alive, the saddest thing I've realised as I start this little book I'm trying to write, which is very euphemistically called No More War, Dear. It's continuous war. We've lived in decades of continuous war, one or another, by proxy wars so that they're not obvious, or direct war. And Syria is just another step to Iran. And from my way of looking at it, that was already on the table quite a long time ago. If you, again, look up some of the information that is available, freely available out there, all it takes is the connections that you make to actually see the bigger picture. And I encourage you again to look up things like the Washington Institute and actually the pact that we have made here in New Zealand with the Americans since we've had National in Power. And why we are so friendly with them now, and what that actually facilitates, and it really is quite frightening. So there is a YouTube video from the Washington Institute, which is a right-wing think tank, and it actually tells you how they manufacture situations and encourage it in order to facilitate in the kind of interventions we're seeing now. That one really was frightening. It's actually up on my Facebook page. I'll send it to you, Vinny.
Yeah.
And you can put it up with a link.
Well, okay. See, this is the interesting thing, is that all the information is out there. You know, it's not a conspiracy. A conspiracy is kept secret. This is all out in the public, except the mainstream media don't repeat it 1,000 times to the masses, do they?
They do. They repeat the other thing, and that's the whole point. The thing with conspiracy theories is a conspiracy is just an idea with 3 or 4 or 5 people, yeah? A theory is an idea. So a conspiracy theory is nothing as scary as they try. It's not nearly as kooky as you think. It's just an idea that people follow before they follow it through and put it out there. Basically, what's happening in Syria, as another friend of mine would say, is conspiracy theories on steroids, isn't it? Simply because when you look at the kind of people who you can't see, who are stirring the pot there, who are making the comments, who are telling you that evidence is irrefutable, none of them are coming up with the hard evidence. So you could easily propagandize that and say, okay, well, that's your conspiracy theory, as is you are doing this for reasons that you are not actually coming clean on. So, yes, you will find, and notice you flick down. Another thing, just before I leave, someone actually sent me...
What do you mean just before you leave? Aren't you here for like 2 hours, love?
Someone sent me some information, which I have a feeling might even have crashed my computer last night. And it actually was black and white in emails confirming the staging of one of the incidents that was actually on television. And I actually shook my head as I was reading this email, because it was in amongst things like this lady taking her children to a club or to shopping or some kind of sports event, and it was just thrown in, and it was so bizarre that it couldn't have been anything other than true. And I looked at this and I thought, I actually do feel that I'm living in a dystopian world where I'm looking at these things. I'm going to wake up soon. I need to pinch myself, because this can't possibly be real. But the reality is, those body bags, those little people that were in those awful videos, those were real, right? I can't vouch for some of the people who are speaking or who speak to this, who look at you through the lens of a camera and tell you this is happening or that is. But I can tell you that the body bags are real. And when I first started looking at what was happening in Syria, which was over 2 years ago, there was a little boy called Hamza, and someone sent me through the pictures of his body. And believe me, no one could have made that up. No one I know that was in the theatrical world could have made any of that up. It was real. It was said that was done by government troops. On the other side, you know, the stories are, we've seen the YouTube videos, you can't make things up, like someone's heart being pulled out of their body and other things, like you can't make that up.
So, Eaton.
Yeah. This is the stuff that some of us have been looking at with absolutely heart in mouth. Quite literally looking at this and thinking, this is so barbaric. If this was actually put on our screens at 6 o'clock, how can people be so anaesthetized?
Wouldn't it be great if you put that on the 6 o'clock news? Here are the rebels cutting the chest open of a person and eating their heart while it's still beating. Give them your moral support.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, while you feast on McDonald's or KFC or whatever, and I'm not giving them a plug either.
Which is a soft kill bioweapon.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the frightening thing about all of this is out there, but you are getting the selected side of it that suits the narrative that they want you to believe. And, yeah, the mainstream media versions of these events is slowly but surely so Orwellian now. It is so staged.
You know, somebody asked me during an interview once, because, you know, we're in the future right here, you know, we're a day ahead of the States, you know, and they asked me, Vinny, what's it like there in the future? And I say, well, it's somewhat dystopian.
And the bottom line with all of this stuff is, it is happening right now. And yet when you talk to people, they cannot actually get their head around what they see on the TV for other people. Is that is their lives. That those helicopters roaring overhead, that white phosphorus, all that is the life of a child waking up every morning and going to sleep at night or trying to go to sleep. That those are the lives they're living. So while we're sitting here comfortably debating this and discussing the semantics of, well, should we do this, should we do... Every minute we're doing that, those people are living that far away from here. How would we feel? How would we feel? Would we be begging for intervention, or would we be saying, can someone please give the right story out there? Could someone please just take my children and put them in a safe place while us adults nut this out? And I say that in a peaceful way, but sit and discuss and talk. Undoubtedly, every country in the world, you could say there would be certain people who are against their governments, their regimes. But what is happening in Syria at the moment, what is happening even in places like Iraq or Afghanistan, it is so different from what we are seeing here. At least we still do have the opportunity to sit, like I'm with Vinny, and discuss this openly, without fear, hopefully, of someone running in through our door and with guns pointed at our heads.
I think that's because we're not currently at war yet, because you know what the first casualty of war always is?
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Of course, it's the truth.
Now, we're coming back to break. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Jacqueline Taylor, otherwise known as Jax, is my guest. You can check her up on Facebook, and we'll be putting the links up there at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Just bear in mind, this is a listener-supported broadcast, so if you can subscribe for $5 a month to keep the financial means running so we can keep resisting the scumbaggery. We'll be right back.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky.
We're just going to watch a little video that Jax was referring to earlier. Hold on one second, ladies and gentlemen.
I frankly think that crisis initiation is really tough. And it's very hard for me to see how the United States president can get us to war with Iran. Which leads me to conclude that if, in fact, compromise is not coming, that the traditional way of America gets to war is what would be best for U.S. interests. Some people might think that Mr. Roosevelt wanted to get us into World War II. As David mentioned, you may recall we had to wait for Pearl Harbor. Some people might think Mr. Wilson wanted to get us into World War I. You may recall he had to wait for the Lusitania episode. Some people might think that Mr. Johnson wanted to send troops to Vietnam. You may recall he had to wait for the Gulf of Tonkin episode. We didn't go to war with Spain until the USS, until the Maine exploded. And may I point out that Mr. Lincoln did not feel he could call out the Federal Army until Fort Sumter was attacked, which is why he ordered the commander at Fort Sumter to do exactly that thing which the South Carolinians had said would cause an attack. So if, in fact, the Iranians aren't going to compromise, it would be best if somebody else started the war. One can combine other means of pressure with sanctions. I mentioned that explosion on August 17th. We could step up the pressure. I mean, look, people, Iranian submarines periodically go down. Someday one of them might not come up. Who would know why? We can do a variety of things if we wish to increase the pressure. I'm not advocating that. But I'm just suggesting that this is not a either-or proposition. Of, you know, it's just sanctions has to succeed or other things. We are in the game of using covert means against the Iranians. We could get nastier at that.
You've got to be freaking kidding me.
So
it's like I keep telling people it ain't a conspiracy because a conspiracy is secret. Oh, my God.
So basically, Vinny, that was the one that defined them for me. And I went and had another look at certain other sort of narratives that were following on from that. And when you hear it from someone's mouth like that, and you know, that is readily available on YouTube, when you put that together with the false false reports that are coming out, you know, from various factions. When you then add the similarity between the talk of, you know, Mr. John Kerry and previous people like Colin Powell during the Iraq War, when you realise that possibly, hopefully, some of the British MPs did do a little bit of homework, and that is why you even got conservative ones to cross the floor. That phrase, cross the floor, is seriously, in all my time in Britain before I came to New Zealand, I could not have been more proud of British parliamentarians actually crossing the floor for that, because some of them must surely have done a bit more homework on this one than some of the others. Now, bringing this back to a New Zealand perspective, we've got Murray McCulley, who is quite weak in terms of he's actually been a lot better in some instances, so I'm not going to be negative all the time, but then Mr. Key, who literally seems to swing whichever way the wind blows. And, you know, can I remind people to look up the fact that, A, Mr. Key was also pro the Iraq War. He is on record, he's on video, of haranguing the Labour government for not participating with the American allies on that. He was also on record supporting Mubarak, which was interesting, and was also something that they tried to downplay very quickly, but I keep bringing that one back up as well to remind people. Where's Hosni Mubarak now? Well, that's an interesting thought, because he's actually out of jail. And what happens, a democratically elected leader, whether you agree with him or not, Mr. Morsi is now in jail, facing exactly the same charges as Hosni Mubarak. So there is a lot of insanity going on here. Coming back to Mr. Key, though, it is well known.
It gets to the point where people are going, are these people insane?
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be asking that question. They should be just saying, these people are insane.
Yeah. And the answer, you know, to Mr. Key is no moral support. No moral support from New Zealand. This is not the way New Zealanders do it. New Zealand has been absolutely held up and renowned around the world for its fair-mindedness and for, you know, its peacekeeping roles. No longer, I would suggest, if people actually took a good look at that. I'm not going to make any more comments, because I do have close friends, you know, who take either side on that. But the information is there. The only thing is, people don't know it. So I suggest you Google, I suggest you look things up, and you find out why journalists like John Stevens are being shut down. Find out why people like Nikki Hager are as taken apart by the mainstream media, and indeed by the, you know, political commentators and the politicians too. Why are they so frightened of these people who do tell us the truth? It's not sensationalist. Everything links back if you look at it. And
well, one would conclude that liars don't like people who tell the truth, because it exposes them for what they really are.
And not just that, Vinny, it's the people that actually look at the words they use and go, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. That the words that you have just used, it's like the little boy watching The Emperor's New Clothes. You stand up and you say, that makes no sense to me at all. If you are saying we are doing this in the interests of another country, in the interests of another people, in the interests of humanity, then you can't say in the next breath, we are doing this as a punitive measure, this is selective, this is only intervention, this is until you do what I want. That's bullying in the biggest, most grotesque way of doing it. And basically, it is using words and deliberately spinning them and seeing them misinterpreted in the media for an end that for some of us is pretty obvious, actually. So at the end of the day, US interests are not what is at the heart of Syria, the security interests anyway. I don't know of any Syrians who've been involved in you know, anything that they can track back, but I'm sure we will see that. And the other point that I really do need to make, because I've just remembered it, is Mr. Key actually prepared the way for us with his WOMD scenarios, you know, as to why we needed more surveillance and more other things there.
Here's the funniest thing. guess what the chemical weapon attack that they allege that the Syrians used was? Guess what the chemical weapon was?
Sarin gas.
No. Sodium fluoride and potassium fluoride.
Really?
This just comes out of the independent and mainstream media.
So,
let's just take that conclusion. Sodium fluoride and potassium fluoride are a chemical weapon. What's in your drinking water purposely by the government? A chemical weapon. What's recommended by dentists to be good for your teeth? A chemical weapon. What happens to be sprayed on all of your food and everything like that in order to make sure that you're nice and healthy? A chemical weapon.
Oh, good God. Okay, so now we've morphed from Orwell to Huxley. So now we're being somered with whatever those things were that I can't pronounce, but let's just call them chemical weapons. Mm-hmm. And let's just say that, the scenario that is being laid for us is... Actually, I think John Key probably got his rehearsal wrong there. Perhaps he should have said that there are certain New Zealanders that were being trained in Syria, and then he would have had a better link. He actually said Yemen. And then left that one floating around in the ether as the reason why certain persons of interest in New Zealand, meant that the whole lot of us actually needed a little bit of extra monitoring and surveillance. Mm-hmm. When you connect these things, innocuous they may seem individually, but when you actually join the dots, this is where, it does actually morph from being comedic to actually being quite frightening. Because if they can make these kind of leaps and bounds and actually make decisions, policy decisions, and, possibly decisions for our whole country based on things like this, it does actually become quite frightening, because when you track all that way back, when will it be, against your country to actually stand up for people like this and go, not in our name? That is the next step. That is the step where then they then say, well, you're not patriotic, you're not this, you're not that. I haven't heard that word here for a little while, although Tao Henare, bless him, did actually, and I keep reminding him as well, so I'm probably on his most hated female lefties list, of people who are against their country. And I said to him, Tao, I'm not actually against the country in any which way. I'm not even against the government. I'm certainly against quite a few things that this government is doing. But if that is what the GCSB is designed to do, having had this amendment pushed through, then I am quite concerned. But thank you very much for telling us all the truth, because we couldn't get that kind of truth out of Mr. Key, but you said it, and that's on record too. So the GCSB will be monitoring people of interest, persons of interest, groups of interest who may be against the country, whatever that means. I don't think it's against the country. I love this country. Every single person I know who has ever got up out of their seat, made a submission, walked the streets, marched, made banners, done anything to that, loves this country, and that's why they do it.
Yeah. Of course, patriotism isn't something that is encouraged by the government at all. And I find that very ironic, considering, you're the government, you're supposed to be leading the country, yet you don't give a frack about the country or its people for some reason, and selling out to foreign interests and getting us to do things that ordinary New Zealanders don't like. And then, of course, here's the irony. You know what we do when we don't like a piece of government legislation? We submit to them. Isn't that interesting? Give us a submission. We're doing this thing that you don't like, so give us a submission. Show us a sign that of your submission. And go, here you go. Here's my submission. Thank you very much. Are you going to listen to it? Are you going to look at it? Are you even going to do anything with it? No. That's why we called it a submission, because all you're doing by submitting is admitting that you can't do anything to stop us. And the other element is, of course, now we've got a referendum, right, on asset sales, for instance, okay? They tried to get 300,000 signatures the first time. Turns out a couple of people doubled in their name, so it wasn't quite 300,000. And then they got another 300,000, and that was enough. And then the government says, well, it's a non-binding referendum, so it doesn't really matter that you collected it twice. We don't really care. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.